you remember last week's bulletin, the title was, I Am Not Anonymous. Now, keeping in mind, I didn't do the nuance in last week's bulletin, so it does look the same. But keeping in mind, there's a little difference. And I found out when I was saving my notes from last week to this week, there is no nuance between a capital and a slower lowercase letter when it comes to computers. There are for passwords, but not for files. So when I tried to do the nuance where last week I am was capital I, capital A, capital M, this week is capital I, capital A, small m. And my computer recognized them as both the same files. So I had to do something a little differently. And actually, the thing that I do differently is that I put the date with it, so it's a different file altogether. Anyways. But there is a difference between I am and I am. Keeping in mind, you don't know it by what I'm saying, but you'll know it by what I'm when I'm done speaking. So last Shabbat, I shared with you an envelope we received and the contents that were in it. It was sent anonymously in that there was no way of identifying who had sent the envelope. The content of the envelope was a tract conveying we needed to believe in Jesus. Last Shabbat, I shared with you further, based on this one piece of mail, I would raise 2 points. The premise or the assumption that prompted this piece of mail to be sent. What was the sender's motive? What was their intent? Apparently so. And then the second part, the manner by which the sender sent it. We looked at the fact that the tract was sent anonymously, and that as a Messianic Jewish synagogue, I presume the assumption of the sender was that we didn't believe in Yeshua or Jesus because we identified ourselves as being Jewish. I further emphasize that the manner by which we as believers are to function was not anonymously, but to boldly speak as Yeshua's witnesses. If we are to speak boldly, not concealing ourselves as we share the good news of Yeshua, a Jewish message regarding the Passover, would you not believe Adonai would do the same? Would he conceal himself? Would he hide himself because he was afraid of something? Usually we tend to hide or we tend to conceal our identity for various reasons. Maybe we don't want to draw attention to ourselves. Maybe we're not assured of what we're conveying. Maybe we hate confrontation. Maybe we hate confrontation because we're not assured of what we truly believe, and therefore, when confronted, we're going to be made to look foolish. So last week I shared with you the nuance of my title, I Am Not Anonymous. I did this at the beginning as well. Last week, the I am I was speaking about was you. This week, the I am is speaking about him. Because he too goes by the understanding or by, for lack of another word's title, as I am. Put in I am and then your name, and this identifies who you are. Put in I am and don't go any further, and that identifies who he is. He is the great I am. He is I am. And you don't need to preface it with anything additional. To some, he may appear to be anonymous. Not because he has concealed himself from them, but because they have concealed themselves from him. When Shaul was in Athens, he had an interesting encounter. In verse 23 of chapter 17, we learn that as he was walking around, looking at the shrines that were in Athens, he said, I even found an altar which had been inscribed to the unknown God. So the one whom you are already worshiping in ignorance, this is the one I proclaim to you. So he wasn't anonymous. They just didn't know him. So he was anonymous to them. Perspective is everything. And then Shaul went on to convey this, and starting in verse 24 of chapter 17. The God who made the universe and everything in it, and who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in man-made temples, nor is he served by human hands, as if he lacked something. Since it is he himself who gives life and breath and everything to everyone. From one man he made every nation living on the entire surface of the earth, and he fixed the limits of their territories and the periods when they would flourish. God did this so the people would look for him and perhaps reach out and find him. Although, in fact, he is not far from each one of us. And in verse 28, for in him we live and move and exist. Indeed, as some of the poets among you have said, we are actually his children. So Shaul is conveying this stark reality. You've identified him as an unknown God. Yet he's very real and he's living among you, whether you realize it, acknowledge it or not. And in his letter to Roman believers, Shaul conveys a similar notion starting in verse 20. For ever since the creation of the universe, his invisible qualities, keeping in mind he said invisible, he did not say anonymous qualities. His invisible qualities, meaning you can't physically see them, but it does not make them anonymous. Both his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen because they can be understood from what he has made. Therefore, they have no excuse. Because although they know who God is, they do not glorify him as God or thank him. On the contrary, they have become futile in their thinking, and their undiscerning hearts have become darkened. Not identifying God, not acknowledging him, in essence leads to a darkened heart. Shaul's words, not mine. It's not Adonai who is hidden, that is anonymous, but rather our lack of relationship with him has made him unknown to us. Adonai reveals himself in such ways that are not done in secret or are hidden, but are done for everyone to see. The first was what Shaul referenced in Romans, that being creation. Bereshit 1 or Genesis 1 starts the narrative of Adonai that includes us, created in his image and likeness. You can either believe his account, or you can believe the account of man. Darwin, to be specific. That we all originated from a single cell and evolved over millions of years into what we are now. How you can ignore the complexity of the human form and accept the notion that such complexity can originate from a single cell is beyond me. The single cell has to come from somewhere, for which the theory of evolution is weak in establishing. Therefore, in order to accept this premise, people must then deny the facts. What are the facts? The facts, Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Well, that's the Bible. That's man's writing down of things that are supposedly from God. Yet you either believe that the Word of God is God's Word, or you don't. This is the first step of faith in coming to God. You either trust Him or you don't. An analogy that I convey with people when they're struggling. I say, I'll ask, do you trust God? If their answer is yes, then by default, if you trust God, you have to trust His Word. You can't trust Him and not trust what the Word of God says, because it is the Word of God. So in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make humankind in our image, in the likeness of ourselves, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the animals, and over all the earth, and over every crawling creature that crawls on the earth. So God created humankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them male and female. He created them. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living creature that crawls on the earth. You either believe this or you don't. There's no third option. It's binary. Binary is either a yes or a no, a zero or a one. This is how computers operate. They operate in the world of binary. Either zero or one, yes or no. Well, maybe. There is no maybe in binary decisions. So people must deny they were created in the image and likeness of God. It isn't that our creation is a mystery done in secret, because here we are. Adam and Chava, or Eve, saw the fullness of Adonai. To them, He was not anonymous. And yet it was Adam's transgression and Eve's being deceived that they hid from Adonai. He didn't hide from them. They desired to make themselves anonymous because of their transgression. They moved, God didn't. Yet when we look at two other people who knew Adonai, their experiences were different. Abraham and Moses, two prominent individuals who had close relationships with Adonai, were different. We first read in Genesis 11:26 that Avram is the son of Terach. It isn't until Genesis 12 that we witness the relationship between Adonai and Avram begin. When in verse 1, he says to Avram, Adonai says to Avram, get yourself out of your country, away from your kinsmen, and away from your father's house, and go to a land I will show you. No introduction. Just a statement made by Adonai to Avram. And promptly followed. So, what was his reason? Adonai's reason, get up and go. He got up and went. For this reason, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great, and you are to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but I will curse anyone who curses you. And by you all the families of the earth will be blessed. What do we know this as? The Abrahamic covenant. And then we have Abraham's response. So Abraham went, as Adonai had said to him. What is missing? From this account, there aren't any questions, concerns, fears, debates. Do I go or don't I go? Who is this person speaking? Who is this God speaking to me? Why is He telling me to go? I've got it pretty good here right now. There's none of that. Verse 4, it says, so Avram went. But there is likely more that has not been revealed here. Yet let's look at what we do know. Who is Avram? But a descendant of Shem, one of Noah's three sons, who experienced firsthand Adonai's relationship with his father Noah. Going back to Genesis 9, God spoke to Noah and his sons with him. God spoke with Shem. Shem is the directest, Avram is of the direct line of Shem. And then verse 9, as for me, I am here with establishing my covenant with you, with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you. There's a covenant relationship. God established a covenant with Noah and his sons, and God establishes a covenant with Avram at the time, a descendant of Shem. So there's some continuity going on here. Adonai spoke with Noah and his sons, but there was something special about Shem, who did not dishonor his father, and as such, Adonai blessed him. In Genesis chapter 9, starting in verse 25, he said, "Cursed be Canaan. He will be a servant of servants to his brothers." Then he said, "Blessed be Adonai, the God of Shem." He didn't say the God of Ham or the God of Jetheth. He said the God of Shem. Canaan, who was a descendant of, I believe, Ham. Canaan will be their servant. May God enlarge Jetheth, a blessing for Jetheth. He will live in the tents of Shem, under Shem's covenant blessing. So both of his brothers are living under Shem. So Shem has received a greater blessing than his brothers, and Avram called out a descendant of Shem is too going to receive a greater blessing than his relatives. And thus through the line of Shem came Avram. So Avram's ancestors knew Adonai, spoke with him, and were blessed by him. Shem would reside over and above both of his brothers. So Adonai knew Avram, but did Avram know Adonai? In Hebrews 11, the writer of Hebrews conveys this: by trusting, Avraham obeyed after being called to go out to a place which God would give him as a possession. Indeed, he went out without knowing where he was going. So over the next 25 years, we would see the relationship revealed to us. We saw Avram triumph and we saw his failures. Yet what transpired over 25 years from the moment Adonai had called him out of Ur until the moment Yitzhak, the fruition of one of the primary elements of the covenant promise, we have a record of the relationship between God and Abram, or who would become Avraham. The writer of Hebrews goes on in verse 17 of chapter 11, "By trusting, Avraham, when he had been put to the test, offered up Yitzhak as a sacrifice. Yes, he offered up his only son, he who had received the promises, to whom it had been said, 'What is called your seed will be in Yitzhak.' For he had concluded that God could even raise people from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did so receive him." So, what are we learning about Abraham in these 25 years? We're learning, we don't know what his faith was like before, but we know that he trusted in God when God said go and he went. And there were some peaks and valleys along the way, to where Shaul conveys this in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. "For what does the Tanakh say? Avraham put his trust in God, and it was credited to his account as righteousness." This didn't happen overnight. because it was Abraham's final test, number 10 of being obedient to God, trusting his word and saying, give me your son. And Abraham did everything up until the moment, whether the knife was in a downward trajectory or not, I don't know. Some of them depict it that way. He was willing to do everything God had said. A much different relationship than we saw with Adam. But there is so much to the relationship with Abraham that has been revealed to us that we study it year after year. It's written throughout Scripture about who Abraham is. Then we have Moses, whom we first read about in Shemot or Exodus 2, starting right from his birth. This unnamed baby was identified by Adonai from birth. Words conveyed later on in Jeremiah and Psalm 139. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I separated you for myself. I've appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. That was the promise that God made regarding Jeremiah. You keeping in mind, the promise is a little different for Moses, and we'll see that in a minute. Then Psalm 139, what I'm doing is trying to convey to you that God's promises and God's plans are before we're even taking a breath of life. Psalm 139, starting in verse 13, For you were fashioned, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you because I am awesomely made wonderfully. Your works are wonders. I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. My bones were not anonymous to you. Because keeping in mind, everything we're talking about, hidden or whatever, is another form of being anonymous. Just because something is hidden does not make it anonymous. I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes could see me as an embryo. But in your book, all my days were already written. My days have been shaped before any of them existed. So to Moses, was identified by Adonai to be his servant. It wouldn't be until many years later that Adonai, in a manner that was different than with Abraham, would introduce himself to Moses. Adonai did not call him out in the same manner, but first had to get Moses' attention. Has God been trying to get your attention? He certainly made an effort to get Moses' attention. Because there's a reason why in Exodus 1 we learn of the birth of Moses. There's a reason why we see him leave Egypt. Because for most, the story would have ended there. Okay, well, he's no longer in the picture, so to speak. Yet in Exodus 3:2, the angel of Adonai appeared to him being Moses, in a fire blazing from the middle of a bush. He, Moses, looked and saw that although the bush was flaming with fire, yet the bush was not burning up. Upon getting Moses' attention, Moses approached. He took the first step of faith that would forever transform his life. And in verse 4, when Adonai saw that he had gone over to see, Moses took the first step. God approached. God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. He answered, here I am. When Moses acted, Adonai responded. He said, don't come any closer. Take your sandals off your feet because the place where you are standing is holy ground. I am the God of your father. He continued, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzhak, the God of Yaakov. Moses covered his face because he was afraid to look at God.
I wish I was anonymous.
Adonai said, I have seen how my people are being oppressed in Egypt and heard their cry for release from their slave masters because I know their pain. I have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the country to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Yes, the cry of my people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen how terribly the Egyptians oppressed them. When is this in Moses' life? 80 years later. He had a plan for Moses right from the beginning, but he said, I know what I'm going to do, but it's not now. Similar with Daniel. He gave prophecy to Daniel, and he said, this isn't for now. Seal it up, it's for later. I have a plan for you, but I will show you when. In this manner, Adonai reveals himself to Moses and will continue to do so over the next 40 years of his life. Moses becomes prominent in the life of Israel, both while he was alive and even to this day. Known as Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our teacher. He is even prominent in the New Covenant writings, more so than many believers truly realize. Moses is prominent. Don't think that I've come to do away with the Torah of Moses. Moses wrote, well, if only someone like Moses, or if only we would believe the Torah of Moses. So much connected to Moses that we have 40 years. Not all of it's documented, but over a period of 40 years. We see that Adonai continues to not be anonymous. It is when his creation chooses to ignore or deny him that he takes on the appearance of anonymity. Yet he is not the source of this anonymity. To the deniers, to the justifiers, to the atheists of the world, to the agnostics who need more evidence or proof. I fall into the last category at one point in my life. He has responded to them. I'll tell you the verses in a minute, but I want you to hear the words. He's responded to, I am not anonymous. He has responded to the deniers. Then Adonai answered out of the storm, who is this darkening my plants? With his ignorant words, stand up like a man and brace yourself. I will ask questions and you give the answers. Where were you when I founded the earth? Tell me if you know so much. This is from Job chapter 38. And for two chapters, 67 additional verses, Adonai expands on the where were you when. Keeping in mind, I can almost see this in the image of the great white throne judgment when we come before him. And we're wondering things, or we may have a rebuttal. And his response would be, where were you when? And then at the beginning of chapter 40, after this enormous dissertation of Adonai as to questioning his decisions about how and when and why he did things. Does the critic still want to dispute Shaddai? Let him who wants to correct God give an answer. After 67 verses of "Where were you?" I believe that will just about shut up every mouth if they are wise. So to those who deny Adonai, and therefore, if you deny Adonai, you deny Yeshua. It's the same thing with Yeshua and the Word of God. If you trust in God, you have to trust in God's Word. And if you trust in God's Word, then by default, you have to trust in Yeshua. So, moreover, I tell you, whoever acknowledges me in the presence of others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge in the presence of God, of God's angels, excuse me. So if you acknowledge your trust, your faith, your identity in Yeshua, he will recognize you. Not anonymously. Well, here are all my believers. He will acknowledge you by name because you've acknowledged him by name. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before God's angels. Deny him, God denies you. Also, everyone who says something against the Son of Man will have it forgiven. This is the graciousness of the Son of God. Speak whatever ill will you want about me, but your words against me can be forgiven. But whoever has blasphemed the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, will not be forgiven. The Ruach HaKodesh is the very power and the very essence of God. If you're denying or blaspheming the Holy Spirit, you've in essence denied God. And in so denying God, you've in essence denied Yeshua. Because who is the Ruach HaKodesh? Going all the way back to Genesis 1, the very life breathed into us. The very essence of God hovering over the face of the deep in Genesis 1-2. Who in traditional Jewish literature is identified as the Spirit of Messiah. So when they bring you before the synagogues and the ruling powers and the authorities, don't worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say. Because when the time comes, the Ruach HaKodesh will teach you what you need to say. This is Luke chapter 12, verses 8 through 12. Deny me and you will be denied by God. Say whatever you want about me, but whatever you say about me can be forgiven. But if you come against the Ruach HaKodesh, forget about it. To use some terminology of today, you've crossed God's red line. The God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov is not anonymous, has not concealed himself, but through Yeshua, the Son of God, has revealed to us that he is Adonai. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing made had being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not suppressed it. As much as it tries to. It may be sunny and bright out today, but what you don't see is that there is an enormous dark cloud over this state and over this city. Not to mention the nation, trying to suppress the light that emanates from us as believers. Furthermore, Yeshua tells us, don't let yourselves be disturbed. Trust in God and trust in me. Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Because you have known me, You will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him. In fact, you have seen him. He is not anonymous. We have not seen him physically or personally. Trust me when I say this. When you do see him, you will know who he is. There won't be any mistaking it. You can't know someone who is anonymous. You can't know someone who is hidden. Just as with Adam, Abraham, and Moses, all knew Adonai yet in very different ways. One knew him before transgression entered the world and therefore knew him in such a way that no one else has to this point. But there will come a point when we will know Adonai as Adam did, for all those who believe. Both Abraham and Moses knew Adonai, yet in different ways. Abraham was the patriarch who would be the origin of a nation Adonai promised through the covenant he made with Abram. I will make you a great nation. Whereas Moses was identified by Adonai to lead this nation. Once a promise, now a reality, with over 600,000 men over the age of 20 and approximately 2 to 3 million people in total. A nation without a land was formed. A nation that included both citizen and foreigner was to be led by Moses for a time. It was these formative years where, through Moses, Adonai revealed the structure and foundation the nation would come to function. It was through Moses that Adonai revealed such foundational truths that not only exist to this day, but have been adopted by other nations, including this one. This cannot be done. None of this can be done by anyone anonymously. It is the identity of Adonai and through his promises, including Yeshua, Israel's king and Messiah, would not only redeem the nation, but also the entire world. He has made himself known. The great I am is not anonymous. So if people ever talk to you about, well, I don't know God, not only do you have these sermon notes as well, but you can speak from your own personal experience. You can speak to the relationship that you have with God. No, it's not like Adam. It's not like Moses. It's not like Abraham. It's your relationship with him. That's your testimony. That's your witness that you fully know. I may not have ever seen God, but I most certainly know he is not anonymous. He is alive now. He is Lord of my life. He guides me. He is my shepherd. There's no such thing as an anonymous shepherd to sheep. Sheep are attracted by the shepherd's voice. Yeshua conveyed this in John chapter 10 as well. So not only can you not be anonymous as a believer, but you have to convey that God is not anonymous either. So if everybody will please rise.